I want to read something to you. This is not the text for this morning. It's out of Isaiah chapter 54. Brother Larson read it at the conclusion of his service last night. And again, he said, I believe this is a word to all churches and all people in this last day that are going to preach the message of the cross. I want you to listen carefully. Isaiah 54, beginning at verse 1. If you want to turn there, I'll give you a moment. Isaiah 54, verse 1. Sing, O barren, that thou didst not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, that thou that didst not travail with child. Far more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitation. Spare not, lengthen the cords, and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate cries to be inhabited. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither shalt thou be confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and thou shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood any more. That speaks of being barren and not having children, and the Lord is saying in that scripture, I'm going to come and I'm going to give birth. I tell you what, that's speaking of new births. That's speaking of salvations of souls that the Lord is saying he's going to give. And he said, stretch forth the borders of your tent. In other words, get ready. Get ready, for I'm sending a harvest. Praise God. Praise God. Would you give him a hand of praise today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Somebody's moved this pulpit back a few feet or something. I just stepped back here and I hit this back thing. Almost tripped. Praise God. Not that I almost tripped, but praise the Lord I didn't trip. If you have your Bibles this morning, would you turn with me to the book of Acts? Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 36. Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 36. And would you please stand with me for the reading of God's word? These are the words of the great apostle Peter as he is concluding his message on the day of Pentecost. When the Holy Spirit, because Jesus had shed his blood on the cross of Calvary, was now free to come in and fill the lives of human man, a mortal man. That's such a staggering thought. And Peter's message was very, very simple. He preached Christ and what Christ did on the cross, and how Jesus was the Holy One of Israel and the Anointed One, and was the Son of David. He used the Old Testament to prove that to the crowd that day. Some, probably I've read accounts of maybe 1 to 3 million people that Peter preached to that day from the temple gate. And as he's concluding this message, he says in verse 36, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. It's one of the most powerful declarations anybody can say, that through what Christ did on the cross, he has proved himself to be Lord and Savior. Going on to verse 37, I want you to see the response of the crowd to Peter's message. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. In other words, great Holy Spirit conviction fell upon them. And they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And I want to preach, won't hold you too long this morning. Now I've just doomed us all, we'll not get out to 1 o'clock. On men and brethren, what shall we do? Could we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, I come to you today in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I'm asking you to help me transmit, Lord, in a way that would bring you honor and glory, what I believe you've put in my heart to tell these your wonderful people. Lord, I know what you're doing and what you're about to do. And I believe, Lord, most of this church believes that you're going to send us the harvest. Lord, today I hope you'll anoint me to elucidate and to put it in their hearts by the power of your Spirit how you're going to do this. And Lord, how it's going to transpire. And Lord, I'm asking you to prepare us, Lord, for these piles of human flesh. Lord, how could we ever be prepared for a mighty move of God in our own flesh? Lord, it's only through the power of your Spirit that we could be made ready. And Lord, I'm asking you to do that to this church. And Lord, we need a fresh infusion of Holy Ghost power in all of our lives. Lord God, I'm asking you in the coming weeks to baptize people in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Lord, I'm asking you to take all of us back to our place of Pentecost, which is the cross of Christ, and rebaptize us and give us more of your Spirit, Lord, than we've ever known before. For we're going to need it, Lord, in preparation for the harvest that we have coming in this church. It's only through the power of the Spirit that we'll be able to do and handle anything that you're sending us, Lord. And Lord, I just praise you and thank you today because I sense your Spirit so strong. I sense that the hearts of the people, you've made them ready, Lord. You've prepared us, Lord Jesus, and are yet going to prepare us. And I praise you and thank you for that. Help us, Lord, as individuals and as a church, to receive and to properly manage what you're sending. Keep us close to you, Lord Jesus. Keep us close to you. And Lord, we'll obey and do your will. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Praise God, praise God. As I said, as Peter concluded this first Pentecostal message, I want you to first try to put you in the proper context of what he's saying and who he was speaking to. It was at the Feast of Pentecost that Jews came from all over the world to Jerusalem to celebrate Pentecost, which was the waving of the sheaf 50 days after the Day of Atonement, when the priest would have gone to the temple and offered up a lamb as a sacrifice of sin for the entire nation. And we need to know that the mindset of these some 1 to 3 million, a large number in any event, of people that had gathered in Jerusalem to celebrate this Feast of Pentecost. For thousands of years, these people had worshipped in a very specific way that was, in fact, given to them by Almighty God, the sacrificial system. I want you to think of that for just a moment. Generation after generation, for thousands of years, had been instructed, this is how you approach Jehovah God. This is how you worship Jehovah God. Think of that. Thousands of years, generation after generation of Jews bringing their animals to Jerusalem on this day of Pentecost and celebrating the harvest, in effect, 50 days after the Day of Atonement. But on this day, we read earlier in the book of Acts, in an upper room, where the Holy Spirit came upon the 120 that were gathered there. And the Bible says that cloven tongues of fire appeared over their heads, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them the utterance. And that was a sign that the Holy Spirit had now entered the world, and through the death of Christ on the cross and his shed blood, that the Holy Spirit now had complete and free reign to fill whoever to overflowing would ask God to do it. What a thought. What a thought that is. And it's such a wondrous event to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And it's for every believer who's washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. It's such a beautiful and powerful event in that person's life. It's for God's children. And it's an empowerment from on high to do God's work in a more effective way. And it's so much more than that. And it's so overwhelming that human words can't express the beauty of it. That's why, hence, that everyone who's baptized in the Holy Spirit, I believe according to the Word of God, will speak with a language that they've never known or studied before, as a sign and as an expression of love back to the God who's baptized them in the Holy Spirit. But the crowd that day that Peter preached to when he stood up to deliver the first Pentecostal message under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, Peter was the first man to stand up under the anointing and really preach a message to this big crowd. And he delivers a simple message of Christ and him crucified as the all-sufficient answer. And he was in effect, as he preached this message to the crowd that day, telling them, now here's the jolt. Your system of worship has been changed. It's no longer correct for you to come and offer up animals, because there has been one by the name of Jesus Christ who has given his life on the cross of Calvary. And he has once and for all paid your sin debt in totality. And that if you will put your faith and belief in him, he will cleanse you of your sin forevermore. And not only will he cleanse you from sin, he will take that sin away, never to be remembered against you again. And not only will he do that through faith in what he's done on that cross, sin's power that the animals could not provide, the means necessary through which to break that power of sin, only keep it covered. Now, through what he did on that cross, sin's power can not only be cleansed, sin can not only be taken away, but sin's power can be totally broken from dominating the life of every human being who will put their faith and trust in what Jesus did on that cross. Praise God. That was the first Pentecostal message in essence. You can go back and read it for yourself in Acts chapter 2. But what I feel the Holy Spirit would direct our attention to this morning was what happened when this message was delivered. To this crowd that had been so ensconced in worshiping by offering up animals, the Bible says they were pricked in their hearts. That means the Holy Spirit fell upon them and showed them what this man is telling you is the truth. The way you have been going, even though it was ordered by God, has now been changed. And there is a new system of worship, a worship in spirit and in truth that does not involve you bringing animals anymore. It does not involve you bringing lambs anymore, because the Lamb, Jesus Christ, has paid in total, and his sacrifice is all sufficient now for everything you're ever going to need. Now you would think that the multiplied millions, if there were that many, however many there were, upon hearing that message, you would think an overwhelming number of them would heed to that message. But we read in the book of Acts, think of this now, and it's awesome for God to save even one soul, it's awesome. But when you consider the size of the crowd that day, we read that only 3,000 came to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ through Peter's message. And praise God for that. But I'm trying to get you to see that the masses of humanity, and I'll be more sharpen my focus a little bit on what I'm trying to say. Most of what calls itself the church will not hear the gospel anymore. Because the gospel of Jesus is Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's the only thing that can deliver a sinner. It's not a way of salvation, it's the way of salvation. Jesus is not one of many ways to get saved. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. It's only by Jesus. It's only by Jesus. And 3,000 souls that day responded to Peter's message. But here's what the Lord wants our church to hear this morning. They were pricked in their hearts, this 3,000 were. They knew we're going the wrong way. I see what this man has now delivered unto us. God has forevermore changed how we are to approach him. And in their hearts, under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, they cry out, men and brethren, what shall we do? In other words, okay, Pastor Peter, if you're telling us that God no longer wants us to offer up the lambs and the animals, how do we approach God now? What do we do now? Let me draw the correlation of what I believe the Lord asked me to lay out in this message as it relates to what he is about to do and is doing even now in this church. By the multiplied millions for years upon years, they've set out there through the Christian airwaves and through the fraudulent pastors and heard other messages. They've heard the purpose-driven life. They've heard the psychologist's couch. They've heard a message of works and law to make themselves right with God. But God, before the rapture of the church takes place, is changing all that. Because the Holy Spirit is going to see to it that every man, woman, boy, and girl on this planet before the rapture takes place hears the message of Jesus Christ and him crucified. And those that have been bound by false systems of worship, those that have been bound by sin, are going to begin to cry out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" In other words, okay, I realize I'm going the wrong way. What do I do now? That's where we come in. Hallelujah. We've got the message of the hour. We've got God's message of end time power. Christ and him crucified. And that's how God is going to fill this church. He's going to flow through some of you. Now, when we first hear something like that, let me settle you down for just a minute. If you're not careful, you let your mind run crazy with you. You think, oh, Lord, pastor's all excited, and he's going to start asking us to do all kind of things, and, oh, we're going to be so busy. No, we're not. No, we're not. God's going to do it. God's going to do it. And I'm going to show you, he's going to do it just like he did it on this day, as the message of the cross is not only declared before them, but as the message of the cross is lived out in front of their eyes. Hallelujah. You know, the greatest message we'll ever preach is how we live before this world. The greatest sermon I'll ever preach is how I live before this world and allowing them to see the glorious light of Jesus Christ in me. That's not saying I've got to be perfect. No, but they will see the Holy Spirit and recognize the power of the Holy Spirit indwelling any human being. It can't be denied. Hallelujah. I don't care how perfect, how imperfect, how stumbling, how weak your faith may be. If it's in Christ and what he did at the cross, the Holy Ghost is filling your life. And his presence cannot be denied. Hallelujah. And I'll show you how it's going to get done. Dennis, I wanted to call you today, and I hate to put you on the spot, but can I use that story you related to me this week? Is that okay? Thank you. I hate to put him on the spot like that in front of everybody, but I meant to call him and got excited last night. And after being in Lauren's service, I forgot to call him. I'll show you how it's going to get done. Dennis this week was working on a lady's house here in town. And they've been going to a particular revival here in town at a church. It has a false prophet preaching the revival. He's only interested in money and maybe some of you have heard about it. I've studied the man and what he preaches and believes, so I'm Ziggy Stardust or something like that's his name. I don't know. What's his name, Dennis? Sanchez, yeah. Now, a name like that ought to tell you something right out of the chute. I'm not making fun of the man's name, but come on. Did his parents really name him Ziggy? I pray not. But in any event, Dennis, as he was working, this lady began to relate to him about the revival and how she felt in her soul and spirit, something's not right. Something's not right. She was crying out, "Men and brethren, what shall I do? I know what I'm in is not right. But the world has been so, and the church has been so bound by false doctrine for so long now that they don't know the truth anymore. They don't know what to turn to. They've tried everything that the pulpit has told them, and it has not worked. And they're crying out, men and brethren, what shall we do? We know something's not right." Dennis simply told her, to make a long story short, the message of the cross. The message of the cross. You need to come to Christ and focus on Christ and what he did for you at the cross. That's simple. That's the answer. That's how it's going to happen. God's going to send them your way. God's already sending his Holy Spirit out there to convict them and to show them something's not right. Something's not right. And I don't know how many are going to respond. It don't matter if it's only just one. It's worth it all, but there's going to be more than just one. As they cry out to us, men and brethren, what should we do? The Lord is going to fill your lives to overflowing in a way like you've never known before with the power of the Holy Ghost. And he's going to give you opportunity to tell them, when they cry out, men and brethren, what shall we do? You'll have their answer. Christ and him crucified. Christ and him crucified. What Jesus did for you on the cross, if you'll put your faith in that, it will provide you with everything, not some things, everything you'll ever need. Faith in the cross will heal your marriage. Faith in the cross will bring you finances. Faith in the cross will heal your family. Hallelujah. Faith in the cross will deliver you from sin's power that you're struggling with. And they're crying out, men and brethren, what shall we do? That's not only the cry of a lost and dying world. That's the cry of a lost and dying church right now. And we've got the answer in this church right here. And I can only speak for this church. Don't get me wrong. I'm not preaching cultism. Any church that holds, Brother Lawrence said it best last night, it's so true. Any pastor or any church that preaches anything other than Christ and him crucified as the answer for everything is preaching death to the people. This is my part of it. Now, you're feeding them spiritual rat poison. If you're preaching anything other than the cross of Christ for salvation, for how to live for God, for how to be delivered from sin, if the heart of that message and the way to achieve whatever that preacher may be telling you you need to achieve or whatever you feel you want to see done in your life, the only way it's ever going to get done is through faith in Christ and him crucified. It's all powerful. He provided everything that day on Calvary's hill when he said, "It is finished." Glory to God. He meant exactly what he said. Hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. And God's going to use this simple little church right here to gather his harvest with that message. Because more and more they're going to be sent across your path. Sandy was sharing with me last week, Sandy, I'm not going to name names or anything about it, how her circle of friends is very curious about what she believes. Some of them are in false religions and false doctrine. And she said, they're curious. They want to know. Sandy, they're crying out. What shall I do? They know in their heart that the direction they're going is not working. Let me tell you, religion will not assuage the feeling in man's heart of I'm not right with God. Only the cross can do that. And again, I'm not talking about two wooden beams, or as somebody accused Brother Swaggart's ministry of recently, of preaching an icon. No, we're not talking about two wooden beams. We're not preaching an icon by the name of the cross. I'm speaking of the work by the Son of God that was done on that cross when he shed his blood as the only power to cleanse man's sin. That's what they're crying out for. They know in their hearts because their religions and the false doctrines and the false approaches to God that they've been told, this will bring you joy. This will bring you peace. This will deliver you from your problem. It's not working. It's not working. And let me tell you this. God's judgment on a people that will not follow the cross of Jesus Christ is that false prophets, he raises up false prophets or allows them to rise up. That's God's judgment on a church that won't come his way. But in this last day before the rapture crossway, he's raised you up and he's raised this church up to gather in the end time harvest, to be a part of gathering that harvest. Hallelujah. And they're crying out by the multiplied millions right here in Springfield, by the thousands. What do I do? I've tried the purpose-driven life. I did the 40 days of purpose. And I still feel no peace in my soul. I've been to the psychologist to try and figure out that you know, it was because of my mom and dad treating me mean, and that's why I'm feeling so bad, and that hasn't worked. I still feel terrible, and even on all the pills they give me, they may alleviate some of the pain and suffering for a time, but it's still there. It's not working. What do I do? My Lord, that's our chance. That's our chance. Tell them simply Jesus and what he did at the cross, and you placing your faith in it will provide you with all the power you need to overcome anything that's going on in your life. That's so simple, isn't it? I know as you sit here under this, many of you under this message this morning, perhaps the simplicity of it is even daunting you as often as you've heard the cross. But that's God's answer. The cross is God's answer. Christ and him crucified is God's answer to every malady and every suffering and every sin issue that plagues mankind. And the soul of man will never feel peace. The soul of man will never know joy until things are totally right between that human and God. They can go to all the psychologists, they can go through all the church programs they want to go through, and it will still leave them asking, what do I do? The pain isn't gone. The shame is still there. The suffering and the bondage of sin is still there. Austin, unless you're going to use the bathroom, I want you to sit down. Okay. Me and him are going to have a talk after church. To alleviate, they're saying that problem is still there. And for those of you who don't know, he is my boy. That problem is still there. It's not going to go away. Only the cross. Only the cross can make man right with God. And that's the root core of the whole problem. And church, you've got that answer for him. You've got that answer for him. I'm not advocating that. Praise God we're having this outreach on Wednesday night that Shannon and Jessica, others of you have worked so hard on. Praise God for it. But the way, this is what the Lord has shown me. Exactly what Dennis did. And exactly what Sandy was talking to me about last Sunday after service. That's how God's going to fill this church. Because this message is so irresistible to hurting man. When they've tried everything else. Even, of course, to the sinner who's tried drugs and alcohol and inordinate sexual relationships and power and money and everything this world has to offer and still feels empty on the inside. Of course, it's directly applicable to them, and we're going to see them come in. We are. We're going to see drug addicts delivered by the power of God. We're going to see them turned in from drug addicts to ministers of the gospel. Hallelujah. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's happening even now. By the power of God. And there won't be, Rick Warren will not be held up when it happens. The purpose-driven life will not be held up. It will be Jesus Christ, and what he did on the cross is the reason for this. Hallelujah. That's how it's going to happen. Just as we live our lives and God is going to send them as they recognize the power of the Holy Ghost in the lives of the people that attend this church or any church that preaches Christ and him crucified as the answer. That their heart, that's the cry of every religious heart that's gone astray. It's the cry of every sinner if they'll admit it deep in their heart. That's what the crowd was asking Peter that day. Peter, you've told us we're going the wrong way. We believe that. Now what do we do? Tell us, how are we made right with God? He answers that question. And some of you talk about turning a scripture into an icon. Some have done that with Acts 2:38. But Peter wasn't giving a baptismal formula. He was giving an answer to the cry of those hearts that wanted to be right with God now. That were saying, we realize it's not right, Peter. We've seen the power of Christ in your life. We've heard your message. What do we do now? If what we're doing is not right, what is right? Tell us. Tell us. And Peter, in one verse, preaches a month's long worth of sermons, or years worth. First thing, and much of the church has shunned this. He says, repent. That's the rub with mankind in coming to the cross of Christ. Repent. It requires that mankind admit, I can't save myself. There's nothing I can do to deliver myself from sin. There's nothing I can do to cleanse myself from sin. There's nothing I as a human can perform to make myself right before a holy God. I can only throw myself on His mercy that was poured out by His Son at the cross. That's what real repentance is. Repentance is merely, in its purest, most lowest common denominator definition, repentance. It means to agree with God. And what does God say about us? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Nobody of their own human volition and lifestyle meets His standard. You know, man loves to rationalize. You know, well, I'm not as bad as Charles Manson. I may have stole a little bit, or I'm not as bad as a serial killer. Can I tell you something that's going to jolt all of us? You know who we need to compare ourselves to? Not other human beings. We need to compare ourselves to Jesus Christ. When you do that, you see real quickly how short you fall of God's glory. You need to compare yourself to Jesus, because He's God's standard. He's been the only one who ever lived totally pleasing to Almighty God, Jesus Christ. No other human has ever done it. He did. He was more than just a man, though. He was God manifested in the flesh. And He lived a perfect life. And repentance means you're agreeing with God. When Peter said repent, it means you're agreeing with God to say, only Jesus and my faith in Him can heal me and deliver me and set me free from sin and cleanse me from sin. He says, repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. No, He was not given a water baptismal formula, as some teach. He was talking according to Romans 6. Peter, at this time, did not fully understand the gospel. And what by that I mean, he understood that faith had to be placed in Christ. But Peter, at this point in his ministry, did not fully understand the ramifications of what Christ did on that cross. And I don't have time to go into it in Scripture, but it proves this, that if the church will preach the right message, the central theme being Christ and Him crucified, the Holy Ghost will use that. It doesn't take a theological genius to deliver the gospel. Peter was certainly not a learned man or not a skilled man. He was a fisherman. But he preached under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, Christ and Him crucified. And he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. He was speaking about the spiritual baptism that Paul elucidated in Romans chapter 6. Whenever an individual places their faith in Christ and what He did at the cross, the Holy Spirit does a beautiful work in that person's life. He takes that person, spiritually speaking, and immerses them into Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's what Colossians is talking about when it says our lives are hidden in Christ. It means that God takes us and all of our sin and all of our weakness and all of our failure. The Holy Spirit does, predicated upon, because we place faith exclusively in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He takes us and puts us in Christ. Hallelujah. Baptizes us, immerses us into Jesus Christ. My Lord, that ought to make everybody in this church shout. Because then, when God looks down upon you because of your faith in the shed blood of Christ, He no longer sees your sin, your failure. He sees the glory and the purity and the righteousness of His Son Jesus because you've been baptized into Him. Hallelujah. That's what Peter was telling him. This is the answer for your sin. This is how to worship God now. This is the way that He has chosen. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. There's nothing in a tank of water that can wash your sin away. It's altogether possible to be under the water, but not under the blood. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses from sin and makes you brand new. Not your performance, it's your faith. It's your faith. April, my dear sister, you've just recently given your life to the Lord. That's what happened to you that day you put your faith in Christ and what He did for you on the cross. Maybe it's never been explained to you that way. But you don't have to perform now, praise God, to get his favor. You have his favor, his love and grace and mercy on the basis of your faith. That you believed on what he did for you at the cross. And that's all you got to keep on doing. Hallelujah. Lord's really working in your life, isn't he? He had me stop and tell you this again. He's hovering over you close. You're a new believer. Praise God. Praise God. And we're going to see a lot more just like her. Get ready. Get ready. They're coming. They're coming. Hallelujah. And then he said, and then ye shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from sin's power. Cleansed from sin's power. And filled with the mighty Holy Spirit. That's the answer. Their question is, what do we do now? We've tried everything else. That's why God has raised up this church. That's why we've been fought tooth and nail for 4 years, and even to this very moment in time, I'm not laboring under any delusion. Satan ain't going to lay down and die because God's sending us revival. No. If you think he's going to lay down and quit trying to destroy this church and its message, you've got another thing coming. But greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. I got to share this with you before I begin to close. And I'm not saying this to be mean or unkind. It just illustrates a truth. In the Word of God, the four lepers seated outside the city, they finally came to the conclusion and said, why sit we here till we die? If we go into the city and be around people, they're going to stone us. It wasn't legal for lepers to come within 50 yards of any other human. They said, if we march into the Syrians' camp, they're going to kill us too. Let's just go and face death, boys. So they got up and marched in to the Assyrian camp. You know what they found? God had gone before them and scared off all those Assyrians. Everything that was in that, it was an empty camp. They got to walk in and freely eat and freely get new clothes and get everything they had need of. Because God went and emptied that Assyrian camps. I'm going to tell you something. Get ready. Get ready, they're coming. Because God's emptying the Assyrian camps right now. Everywhere there's a false doctrine that it's not Christ and him crucified being preached, it's an Assyrian camp. And the Spirit of the Lord is going to move on multitudes of people. I'm not saying all of them, but multitudes. And the Lord is going to spoil the enemy's camp for us. And that's what Isaiah 54 was talking about that I read to you. We're going to see children birthed that we had, where we're not the mothers and the fathers. Jesus Christ is. But the births will take place nonetheless. Stretch forth your tents. Enlarge your borders. Because I'm sending them. I'm sending them. Church, that's why I've started making the moves we've been making. We got to stop acting like we're thinking like we're a church running 30 or 40. And we're just all close family members. No, it's just us. We got to get vision and look ahead to what God is doing. I believe you've caught it. I do. Satan tried to fight it. He tried to, and maybe I didn't deliver the best in the world. I'll say a hearty amen to that. But the idea is that God is going to spoil the enemy for us because of our faith. Because of our faith. You know what? I was thinking this morning. By and large, all who've put their faith exclusively in the cross by the religious world, we've been looked askance at. You know what I'm talking about. Those of us in this church have. We've been looked down upon for what we believe. But God's getting ready to spoil the enemy's camps for us. And they're going to come crying, men and brethren. What do we need to do? It's failed us. When we mocked you, when we looked at you with scorn, we did not realize that what we were putting our faith in would bankrupt us and ruin our lives spiritually. What do we do now? Would you tell us? Hallelujah. And we're not going to be mad at them. We're going to open our arms wide and say, come on in. We got your answer, Christ and him crucified. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But after those four lepers walked into the camp, they then walked before the king of Israel and told him, look what God's done. And there was a famine in the land of Israel at this time. And they said, by this time tomorrow, bread's going to be plentiful. There's going to be all kind of food throughout Israel. The king said, I won't believe it unless I see it. Now watch this. In this last great move of God, he's not going to allow obstacles to stand in the way of the message of the cross. Hear me on this. He's not going to allow any person to stand in the way of the lost and dying religious world and the lost and dying sinful world getting this message of the cross. You know what happened to that king? He was trampled by his own people the next morning because he refused to believe. What am I telling you? I'm telling you that this move of God that has begun, which the message of it is Christ and him crucified. God help anybody who tries to stand in its way. It won't be coming from the church. It'll be coming from Almighty God. He's going to get this message out. He's going to use everybody who'll believe it to get this message out. And anybody who tries to stand in its way and offer up something else, God help them. That's all I've got to say. God help whoever follows them. God help whoever follows them into another message. They're leading people to their spiritual doom and destruction. If it's not Christ and him crucified. But God's going to use us. Hallelujah. When they cry out, men and brethren, what shall we do? He's going to use us to give them the answer. And it's the same answer Peter gave. Hallelujah. But they'll listen to it because their hearts have been prepared by the Holy Spirit. And they're going to know everything else I've tried has left me spiritually bankrupt. It hasn't worked. I tried shaking the preacher's hand. I tried being dunked in water. I tried speaking in tongues. And you all know I believe in those things as much as anybody. Yes, you should be water baptized. It has nothing to do with your salvation. It's a testimony to the world. Yes, you should seek the baptism in the Holy Spirit after you're saved with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. It has nothing to do with your salvation, though it has everything to do with an empowerment to you as a believer to do God's work and service and a deeper level and a greater revelation of Jesus Christ. But none of that makes you right with God. And all those who put their faith and all those that are teaching faith and other things, they are going to be embarrassed. Just like Elijah when he stood on Mount Carmel with the 400 prophets of Baal. And he said, let the God who is God answer by fire. When April got saved, God was answering by fire. Hallelujah. He was approving the message. He was approving the message. Christ and him crucified. Hallelujah. That's the only message he'll answer by fire. The rest of those prophets of Baal cut themselves and cried out for 3 or 4 hours, lanced their wrists, and tell me this cutting thing that so many kids are into now is not of the devil. It goes back thousands of years to Baal worship. It's not nothing new. It's because they're under this bondage and horror of sin. And when they slash their arms, they're crying out, men and brethren, what shall I do? And the only thing that'll work in their lives or in any life is this message that you believe and that we as a church proclaim Christ and him crucified. That's how God's going to fill this church. And I'm not saying we still won't have outreaches and things like that. That's good. You know, Shannon, I hope you haven't misunderstood what I've been trying to bring this morning. Good, good. Praise God. I didn't want you to think I was denigrating your outreach at all. We'll probably, you know, there's nothing. That's good. That's good. But I'm saying our faith will not be in our outreach. Thank you, Lord, for giving me the words. Our faith is not in our outreach. Our faith is in the outreach of the Holy Spirit through faith in Christ and him crucified. That's our program of outreach. Hallelujah. And it will work. It worked on the day of Pentecost as 3,000 heard this message and cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? And they obeyed Peter's words. 3,000 of them, the Bible says, came and gave their hearts and lives to Jesus Christ. That's what we're going to start to see happen in this church over and over and over again. Lauren confirmed it to me last night. I want to get a copy of his message last night and try and get it to everybody in this church. Because if something's from the Holy Spirit, everybody's going to be speaking the same thing. And I sat there amazed last night with tears running down my cheeks. And I ain't ashamed to tell you, I shouted loud as I could several times during that message. But Lauren said, through the Holy Spirit, he said, get ready. People are going to be driving by your churches. They're just going to come in. You're not going to have called them or sent out cards or flyers. He said, they're just going to come in. God is really moving, is what I'm trying to present today. We're involved in something that's way, way bigger than us, church. And then he spoke to me at that altar last night that I shared with you earlier and told me 9 years ago, I showed you the cost of preaching this message. Now I will begin to show you the blessing of preaching this message. Hallelujah. We had to be tested and tried. It had to be, church. God had to test me. And it's, you know, if I wouldn't trade anything for it. Wouldn't want to go through it again. But I wouldn't trade anything for it. Because there's been several times my heart's been broken in two the last 7 or 8 years. Splintered in every direction with me asking why, God. God had to hammer away at me to get me ready for this moment in time right now. I see it all now. I see it all. And he had to test me to say, if you lose everything, will you keep preaching this message? And I'm not going to lie to you. I wish I could stand here and tell you, oh, I'm this great man of faith and power. And every day I've just said, oh, praise God, I'm going on. I think sometimes, through some periods of time, I've quit every other day and told the Lord no. But it's like Lauren preaching his message last night. That's what I shouted at this. He said, some of you have tried to quit. He said, some of you have resigned your church every week. Now, that was me. I don't mean I don't love you all. But I was just thinking, Lord, I'm not the one. Something would not let me quit. I couldn't explain it. Bonnie will tell you. Lord of mercy, she has to listen to me. Y'all think it's bad to have to listen to me twice a week. She has to listen to me every day. She's listened to me rant and rave. Bonnie, I'm just not the one for these people. God's not doing nothing. We're losing more than we're gaining. We're not seeing anybody saved or nobody baptized in the Holy Ghost. I just believe it's time for me to move on. I'll go back into evangelism, or I'll do this, or I'll do that. And every single time, and Lord, the times I've called the poor old Dennis, you need to thank God for Dennis and Chris. The times I've called them, and I've been nice about it, and said, guys, I just believe that the Lord's moving me on. I want to work with you to help you find another pastor. I think only Chris and Dennis know this. Year before last, when we went to Baton Rouge, it's always my custom to go out and have lunch with Lauren. I mean, I just love being with him, and I'm honored he even wants to spend any time with me, a man of God like that. But whenever I'm down in Baton Rouge, we always go out to lunch together. And it's been a great time of sharing, and just I just love Lauren. He's like a brother to me, even though I don't see him that often. Anyway, we were down in Baton Rouge with the youth, and Lauren and I went out to lunch, and I got away from the group, and I was telling him, Lauren, I believe God's done with me there. I said, is there anybody down here that knows the message of the cross that you feel wants to pastor, it might be interested in taking the church? And daggone, Lauren, he looked at me, and he said, God's got you there right now. He said, no, there ain't nobody. He said, because God's got you there right now. And I cried there at the table, and one more time I said, okay, God, I'll go back. I'll go back. But this thing is so much bigger than any of us. It's bigger than me. And God has not let me quit. And thank God he listened to all my baby-fied whining and complaining and didn't set me down and say, okay, get out of my way. I'll get somebody else. Because there's a plethora of ones out there who could do it better, I'm sure. But God put me here. And he's not ever lifted that call, and I couldn't quit even when I wanted to. And thank God I didn't, because it's our time now. They're coming. They're coming. They're coming. Oh, when he told me last night, I will show you the blessing now of preaching the cross. I know exactly what the Lord meant. It's going to be souls saved. It's going to be people baptized in the Holy Ghost. It's going to be people called and used in ministries that they never thought they could do. Hallelujah. And for 4 years, Satan has tried and hammered with every trick in the world to destroy it. He's tried to get some of you to leave. He's tried to get some of you to quit. And I'm not so foolish that I know some are probably still going to. But I love them, and when they cry out, if they're following something other than Christ and Him crucified, when they cry out, men and brethren, what should we do? We'll throw open our arms wide and say, come on back. You're still our family. We love you. But our message and your answer is still the same. Christ and Him crucified. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you stand to your feet? Glory to God. Musicians, would you come? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Don't you feel Him here right now? Oh, God. Oh, God. We bow humbly before You today, Lord Jesus. And we know that we are not worthy at all of what You're now doing and what You're going to do. But, Lord, truly, we're not just saying this because it's the right thing to say. This church means it. We only want to see You get glory. Yes, Lord. Have Your way, Holy Ghost. Have Your way, Holy Ghost. If He's moving on you, let Him use you. This is the proper time. Speak to us today, Father. Use whom You will. Let Him use You right now. The Lord's told me He's going to begin to use people and gifts of the Spirit that have never been used in them before. But if He's given you a word right now, and I believe He is, an interpretation, I believe what Paula just spoke was a message from the Holy Spirit to us. Pray for the interpretation. If He wants to use you, this is the proper time, and it is God moving on you to give that interpretation. Step out in faith and do it. Start speaking the words that He's given you. Have Your way, Holy Ghost. Have Your way, Holy Ghost. Don't be afraid. There's somebody He's wanting to use right now. It's not me. Don't. You'll be a blessing to all of us. It's the Lord. He's confirming it to you right now. Let Him use you. Let Him use you. Yield over to Him. Yield your mouth and yield your tongue over to Him and speak what He's telling you to speak. Have Your way, Heavenly Father. Have Your way, Holy Ghost. We wait upon You, Lord. Let there not be any fear. Let there be a calmness and an affirmation that now is the time to give that word. Go ahead. He's talking to you. I know He's talking to somebody right now. Lord, please give him the strength, whoever You're dealing with. Let him know it's You. It's not coming out of their mind. It's the Holy Spirit moving on them. I'm going to wait just a moment longer. Please let Him use you. We'll go on with the altar service then. And it's not that you've committed a sin if you haven't let God use you. Don't let the enemy beat you up or anything. Just learn to yield to Him in the future. Musicians, would you please come and begin to play something softly. And at any time now, I felt the Holy Spirit just tell me, it's open for anybody who He moves on to give that interpretation still. It will not be an interruption of me. He wants to speak, but we're going to go on right now. Three things at this altar call today, the Lord told me to address. He said, first of all, He wants to prepare us as only He can for this harvest that He's going to send us. But He said, tell my people this. At the altar, allow me to burn up. That was the words He used to me. He's speaking by the power of the Holy Spirit. Allow me to burn up anything in their lives that they know has been displeasing to me. And the Lord shared this with me first, and I've asked Him all week, Lord, You've got to do it. I can't get the junk out of my life. Only Your Holy Spirit can. I'm talking about maybe desires for things that You love God. Your salvation's not in question. But God may be asking you as an individual to give up certain things or to let things go that are in your life that you know is displeasing to Him. There's nothing in this world, He wants us all to know this morning, there's nothing in this world that can compare with the joy of being used by Him and knowing you're right with Him and that your life is totally pleasing to Him. Now, I know our faith in Christ keeps us holy and pure and righteous, but we in our flesh sometimes can allow certain attitudes, actions, and things we're doing to creep in on us. And they're displeasing to the Lord. Not that He's cast us out as His children, but they're displeasing to Him. And He's dealt with you already. If this is you I'm speaking to, I know He's already dealt with you about it. Nobody's going to embarrass you. This is all about Him working in your life. It's not about you having to tell everybody else. But it's a day of victory for some. Come, as when I give the altar call in a few moments, for everybody to come. Come. And let the Holy Ghost, just allow God, open up your heart and allow God to move in it. That's all He's asking today. He's not asking you to through human will, or to say, okay, I'll quit it. No, you'll go back out and probably do it again before 2 o'clock this afternoon. He's wanting to make a change, is what I'm saying. He'll make the change. You have to come and open up your heart to Him, though, and allow Him to come in and make that change. That's number one. That's to the believers. Number two, are you here today? Are you right with God? Or are you one of those who I mentioned in this morning's message? Is your heart crying out, what do I do? How can I make Him happy with me? How can I get my sin cleansed? How can I get sin's power in my life broken? Because it's dominating me. I don't want to live like I'm living. But I have no power to defeat the forces of sin in my life. They're overcoming me. Your answer is simple, but so sublime. You come and give your life to Christ today and put your faith in what He did for you at the cross. He'll clean you up. He'll break the power of sin over your life because you can't do it. You can't make yourself clean before Him through human effort. Are you right with Him today? If you're not, and you want to be, I promise we're not going to embarrass you with every head bowed and every eye closed and no one please looking around. You would say, I want to give my heart and life to Jesus today. Would you slip up a hand? I promise I won't embarrass you. I'm not right with God, but I want to be. My heart's crying out, what do I do? What do I do to be right with Him? What do I do to please God and to wipe the wrath of God that's against me away? What do I do? Only the blood of Jesus can do that. That's the reason for every ill feeling that you're having. That's the reason for sin dominating your life. That's the reason you feel no peace and you feel such turmoil in your soul. You're under the judgment of Almighty God. But only the blood of Jesus can make peace between you and that judgment of God. And He did it on the cross. He paid the price for sin. He lived a perfect life. One more time, quickly, before we move on. If you say, I need to be right with God today, I'm not. My heart's crying out. I need to do something. I need to change something. He's calling you to come to Him, and He'll make the changes, and He'll do the delivering. He has the power to do it. Are there any at all who would say, I want to give my heart and life to Jesus today? Hold up a hand quickly, unashamedly. I promise you, I won't embarrass you. Are there any at all? I'm not going to call you down front and make you confess a bunch of sins to me. God bless you. I see that hand. Are there any others? I'm not right with God, but I want to be today. Any others? Then I'm going to ask everybody who would, especially that one dear soul that raised their hand. You were admitting when you threw that hand up, what do I do? I don't like how my life is now, and I know something's not right, but I want it to be right. You found the answer. When you cried out to him, he sent his Holy Spirit to come running to you, to stand by your side. And I'm going to lead you in a prayer now. There's nothing magical at all about this prayer. It's just maybe you don't know the right words to say to him. You want to be made right, and that's why Peter gave instructions that I preached about this morning. That's all this prayer is. I'm just giving you instruction on what to tell your God to make you right with him, because you maybe don't know. It's not this prayer itself that will make you right with him. It's your saying it to God and meaning it. That's what will make you right with him. I'm going to ask everyone who will, with heads bowed and eyes closed, and especially that dear one that lifted their hand, I want to ask all to pray out loud with me, to lend strength to them, just so they won't feel all alone. Would everyone, and especially that dear one that raised their hand, pray out loud with me right now. Dear God in heaven, I come to you. I am a sinner. I'm sorry for the way I've lived, for the things that I have done, for the sins that I have committed. I now turn to Jesus Christ. I'm placing my trust in what he did for me on the cross. Cleanse me, Jesus, from all sin in your precious blood. I receive you as my Savior, my Lord, my sin bearer, my sin cleanser, my Holy Ghost baptizer. Come into my heart and life, Jesus. And I dedicate my life to you. I give you my entire life, my hopes, my dreams, and my ambition. I turn my life over to you without reservation. Do with it as you will. Thank you, Lord, that you've heard my prayer. And according to your word, in Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, I confess I am saved. Jesus is my Savior. And I believe in my heart that God has raised him from the dead. And I have eternal life now. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. I thank you that you love me and that I can lay my head down tonight knowing that I'm at peace with God and you've given me a brand new life, a brand new start. All my old sin is gone. It's as if I've never committed a sin now because of my trust in what you've done for me at the cross. I will always keep my faith and trust in what you've done for me at the cross. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now the Bible says you have nothing to be ashamed of now. You prayed that prayer, Jesus Christ has washed your sins away. You are his child. You are his child now. Hallelujah. And if you prayed that prayer with me this morning, would you now slip up a hand again and just confess Jesus? Slip up your hand if you prayed that prayer with me. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I should say if you prayed that prayer with me for the first time to give your life to the Lord, would you slip up a hand and say yes? God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah. Give Jesus. Hallelujah. Don't you feel the load of sin lightened? You feel peace now. That good feeling that you're feeling, that's the Holy Spirit has come into your life. And He's telling you now, you're saved. You're right with God. Hallelujah. Give Him a hand of praise. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 I'm going to ask everyone who will now, would you come and present yourself at the altar of the Lord? Thank you, Lord Jesus.